Catholics are starting to fight back against Pride Month, resisting the forces that demand we endorse sin and corrupt our kids. What practical steps can we take this year to overcome the deadliest of months? That's what we're going to talk about today on Crisis Point. Hello, I'm Eric Sims, your host and editor-in-chief of Crisis Magazine. Before we get started, I just want to encourage people to smash that like button and to subscribe to the channel. Okay, so let's go ahead and get started. So it is, I'm recording this on May 30th, which means it's 2 days until the month that has become the most shameful month of the calendar year. And that, of course, is Pride Month. And we all know what this means. This means that we are going to have every corporate entity shoving rainbows down our throat. I'm pulling up a tweet here, an image I saw on Twitter, and it shows a bunch of companies, Wendy's, Pizza Hut, McDonald's, KFC, Taco Bell, Papa John's, Starbucks, blah, 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 all with their rainbow flags, their rainbow oriented logos and whatnot. Because basically, essentially, June is the month in which corporations tell us that we must embrace sin. And they do this because basically they're, in many cases, it's not like they're necessarily behind that. It's because of the fact that they have to do it because the alphabet mafia will take their, they demand their protection money. And their protection money is that in June, you must fly the rainbow flag. If you do not, you will be shamed. You will be ridiculed. You will be basically destroyed in the corporate media. Now, of course, the sad thing, the ironic thing, I guess, is that if you a company does resist it, often they're very successful. Years ago, Chick-fil-A resisted it, and they were super successful. I think actually they're on this image. Yeah, Chick-fil-A. I think there is some Chick-fil-A has started to get more into the gay pride, the rainbow flag than they used to. And Hobby Lobby, which doesn't get into it, you can be successful as a company if you don't get into this. But the problem is there's so much pressure in the corporate world from the ESG crowd, from certain stockholder activists, that all these companies shove it down our throat. And not only do the companies do it, but the government does as well. So we basically have an entire month of the year that's dedicated to saying, you must not only tolerate sin, you must endorse it and support it as well. Now, Pride Month, some people might ask, how did Pride Month originate? It really goes back to 1969 with the Stonewall riots. That's the famous mythical event that kicked off the gay pride movement, where essentially there was some protest by homosexual bar was getting, some police came to shut it down because it was illegal at the time. And there were protests and riots in response. And this became the mythical founding of the gay pride movement. And that happened in June of 1969. So subsequent Junes, there would be pride marches and they were mostly localized in New York area, places like that. But that continued to grow. And in 1999, President Bill Clinton, first time president did this, declared June as Gay and Lesbian Pride Month. That was in 1999, so 24 years ago, it became a government-sponsored activity. Now, people should know that every month has something. I mean, most people know that February is Black History Month. I think March is Women's History or something like that month. But every month has different things assigned to it at this point. And so June became Gay Pride Month. Now, President Obama then changed it to LGBT. I don't think Q was in it then, LGBT month, Pride Month, because they realized, okay, just can't be gay and lesbians. We have to have transgender, bisexual. And of course, now we know it's just the whole alphabet soup of different groups saying, please endorse our sin as well. They get tacked on at the end. Now they even have a plus at the end to show there's so many sins that want to be recognized that we're just going to put a plus sign to recognize them all. And so for a long time, even after Bill Clinton declared this in 1999, it wasn't like Pride Month was that big of a deal that it wasn't. The corporations did not fly rainbow flags in 1999. Most of them did. I'm sure a few of the more woke ones back then, progressive ones did, maybe Starbucks did or something like that. But most companies did nothing about it. But then over time, especially after Obama endorsed gay marriage in 2012, I think it was, because Biden did first, that's when corporations all of a sudden started to push this. Now, some people would argue, and I think there's some validity to this, that this was really a way companies want us to stop looking at all the things going on after the 2008 recession, their cozy relationship with the government, the fact that they were doing so much to screw over the middle class and the lower classes, and they were in bed crony capitalism. They wanted to be like, no, we're look at us, we're good people. We are looking out for the world, so we're going to fly our rainbow flag because we're for tolerance, we're for love, and all this stuff. While at the same time, that gives them a cover, so behind the scenes, they can continue to screw over the little guy, and they do it in cooperation with the government. This is their price they paid. Let's go ahead and put up our rainbow flags, and I'll do it. And so, what's happened is that in the past, I would say decade, Pride Month has really grown in strength. It has grown in its influence, and really it's changed its tone, because for the longest time it was just a matter of, they would say it was a matter of toleration, just let us live the way we want, don't have laws against what consenting adults do in the privacy of their own bedroom. That was what you always heard back, especially when it first started back in 1999. That's what you heard. But of course, that's not what's going on anymore. And more people, fortunately, are waking up to this, because the Alphabet Mafia has pushed so hard their message, and they've pushed so far in shoving this down our throats that people are starting to stand back. Now, what you'll see is like they even admit it now. So I found this tweet from Tim Heidecker. He's a comedian, I guess. He's pretty, you know, has decent following. This tweet has almost 2 million views on it. And he says, you dumb MF-er, Matt Walsh, he's talking to, and anybody like him, exposing kids to LGBTQ is the point. Normalize this stuff now for them, and they won't be so confused, repressed, isolated from the modern world as adults. Grow up and join the 20th century, you total losers. And it's typical with the left. This is how they argue. They basically just scream and shout and call you names because they have no real arguments. But essentially what's happening here is they're admitting, we are trying to expose kids to LGBTQ. That's the point. Now, he then acts like this is just so they normalize it, so they know it's normal, so they don't do anything later in the future that's awful against gays, that is. But really, we know what exposing means. It means literally exposing. I mean, look at some of these drag queen story hours and other things. They're trying to sexualize kids because that's what it ends up being about, is sexualizing children. So that they can, I mean, basically allow pedophiles free reign. I mean, that's essentially what the ultimate goal is in the end, is to normalize pedophilia. But they're going to start with some other stuff. So we see very clearly that Pride Month is not about just toleration. When it was about toleration, most Christians didn't say much about it. And I think that was a mistake. I think we should realize we should not tolerate sin in society. At the same time, I do understand a certain point of view, that even from a Christian point of view, that you can't make every sin illegal. And so there could be some debate about what do you make illegal when it comes to homosexuality, transsexual, transgenderism, stuff like that. But that's not what it's about anymore. And we all know that. Now, I think the average normie on the street might not realize that. They might still think it's about toleration because the media does a good cover for the Alphabet Mafia. But more and more people are waking up to it. And we see that with what's happened recently with Bud Light, with Target, with the Los Angeles Dodgers. So, for example, Bud Light, they simply have one ad. I think it was just one. It was just shown once. And not even an ad. It might have just been on Twitter or something like that, of a transgendered dude. I believe it was a dude acting like a woman. I always get confused. I can't tell sometimes if they're a woman acting like a man or a man acting like a woman. But I think this was a man acting like a woman, some actor. And basically that was enough to launch an incredible boycott against Bud Light that's working very successfully. And ultimately, it's kind of almost amazing that one single ad that wasn't even like an ad campaign or anything like that ended up leading to a major boycott. And I think it's a sign that Christians and conservatives in general realize enough is enough with this crap. Stop telling us that a man is a, can be a woman or vice versa. Stop shoving this sin down our throat and this, or mental illness in the case of transgenderism often is. Stop shoving it down our throats. Stop normalizing it. Stop making, you know, pushing this on our kids. And I think that was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back was the Bud Light. And then now Target, we see Target is pushing a lot of this as well. And there's a boycott against them. And of course, I think we all know at this point about what's happened with the Los Angeles Dodgers. They said they're going to honor the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, which is a blasphemous anti-Catholic group. And then they when there was some pushback, they said, oh, no, we're not going to. But then there was more influential pushback, more moneyed pushback. And so they ultimately, from the LGBTQ community, and they ultimately backed down and said, okay, we are going to honor this anti-Catholic blasphemous group. And there's been a major push against them now from the Catholic world, which is great to see. Catholic Vote, I know, they're raising like $1 million to do ad campaigns to tell people to boycott the Dodgers. I'm very happy that a lot of more normie bishops, Bishop Barron being the number one, has really pushed against this. God bless them for doing that. And it's nice to see that there is a line that some people, I mean, there have been the leftist Catholics who are saying it's not that big a deal and the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence are okay. I mean, whatever, that they're not even Catholic anymore. So what they think doesn't really matter. But Catholics are starting to push back against this. And I think that's great. So I really do think like this year is the first year I'm really seeing a more organized, a stronger resistance against Pride Month, which is a great thing. Because what we want to do is get Pride Month just completely off the calendar. We don't want it to be a thing anymore. We want to stop normalizing degeneracy, sinfulness, mental illness, things like that. And so it's still small, though. Let's be honest. The movement against this is still small. The dominant culture, normally people are mostly just like, yeah, Pride Month, let them have their month. They can do this, whatever. But I do think, and like, for example, you see even conservatives fall into this. I mean, here's a tweet I saw from National Review, the conservative National Review online editor, Philip Klein. And it's he's responding to Kohl's, the department store Kohl's is pushing LGBTQ pride on literal babies. Basically, it's pride logos, flags on onesies for babies and things like that. And he says, I don't have a problem with this. If somebody wants to dress their baby in pride onesie, why should it matter? We're not talking about transitioning minors here. It's just a shirt. This tweet by itself encapsulates the problem with conservative ink. The conservative movement is just a joke. I mean, you see it with the debt ceiling thing going on right now where, you know, they cave, the Republicans cave. We see it here as well. I don't really know Philip Klein very well, who he is, other than he's an editor at National Review. But the fact that you don't see the problem with normalizing gay, pushing gay pride and LGBTQ crap on little babies shows you don't get it, because it's one step from the onesie. She's wearing a onesie to all of a sudden now you have the 3-year-old at a drag queen story hour with some dude in a dress with his junk hanging out. That's exactly what we're moving to. And the fact that, you know, it leads to then all of a sudden a boy says, I want to be a girl, and we're going to have surgery on him. We cannot allow this to get to the point. We have allowed this to get to the point it is because of the fact we weren't willing to stand up years ago. We didn't stand up to this 10 years ago. And now we're reaping the whirlwind, the problems of this movement are coming to fruition today. And so we have to stand up now because, at some point we have to. We should have done it 10 years ago, yes, but we do have to stand up to it now. I mean, another example of somebody who doesn't get is Ted Cruz. It came out that there's a Ugandan law, and one of the aspects of it is the death penalty for somebody who engages in homosexuality with children or disabled people or by force or if somebody is unconscious. In other words, it's against homosexual rape or homosexual acts against minors, which is going to be rape. And so Ted Cruz, like, he basically said that there's something wrong with this, having this death penalty. Now, we can debate whether or not it should be death penalty or life in prison or something like that. But the fact is like, he thought it was horrific that they would have a penalty against this. Ted Cruz, the senator from Texas, who's supposed to be one of the top conservative leaders. First of all, it's none of your business what's going on in Uganda, Senator Cruz. Second of all, why don't you understand what the law is? You don't want penalties against homosexual rape? I mean, again, the problem is that we didn't stand up to this forever. I mean, like I said, it started in 1969. So we're talking 54 years ago. Christians didn't stand up to it. We allowed it more and more because it was presented as, oh, this just let people live, be tolerant. And now we have it shoved in our faces and we have to fight back. So what do we do? That's the real question. How do we fight against Pride Month and against this, the Alphabet Mafia? Okay, the first thing, there's a number of things we can do. The first thing is we have to get over worrying about what other people say us when they say nasty things about us. You're gonna be called homophobic. In fact, I would argue if a Catholic has not been called homophobic, he's not being a very good Catholic. It's just like with the anti-Semite tag, the racist tag, it's meaningless today. Homophobia, first of all, it's non-existent, but it's meaningless to be called homophobic. You're going to be called that if you stand up to Pride Month, or you stand up against sin. You can't worry about that. So do not worry about the names people will call you. It's going to happen. You can't do anything about it. Okay, that's the first thing. Don't care about what other people think about you, because the fact is you will get hammered for this. Here, you a little example. Clayton Kershaw is a pitcher for the Los Angeles Dodgers. And those who aren't into baseball should know he's one of the greatest pitchers of all time. He's one of the biggest names in baseball. He's also a Christian. He has, you know, publicly proclaimed that he's a Christian many times in the past, and he plays for the Dodgers. So, of course, this came up recently about, you know, they're endorsing the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. He didn't say anything about it, but he did then announce that the Dodgers were going to have a Christian night in July. And he didn't say it's because in response to this, but basically everybody knew it's in response to their Pride night. And in fact, just yesterday he had an interview and Kershaw said that, yes, this was, they were planning to have it anyway at some point, but the announcement was because to offset as a response to the Pride night. He said he did not agree with the Dodgers honoring the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. Now, he's very careful. I mean, when you see this interview, you notice he almost sounds like under pressure. He's like a kidnap victim. He's only saying what he's allowed to say, because he said it's not about Pride Night or LGBT or anything like that. It's just, I don't think people should be making fun of other religions. I don't believe in that. So he is very careful not to say anything that was offensive to the gay rights movement, the Alphabet Mafia. He just said, I don't like a group that makes fun of other religions. And that sounds pretty reasonable, right? Well, let me tell you, he got shut down too. I was on Reddit, which I don't recommend you get on, and they were calling him a bigot and they were saying how terrible he is, stuff like that. So the point is like, no matter what you say, if you are Christian at this point, you will be called homophobic. If you're a practicing Christian, I should say, you will be called homophobic. And so therefore, don't worry about that. The next thing we have to do, we really have to expose what's going on. I think this is a key point, because the normie person on the street, even the normie Christian, normie Catholic, does not realize how bad it is. This is a perfect example, is the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. If you read like the media narrative, they're just this group that helps support AIDS victims. They help people who are harmed by anti-gay stuff. They're just kind of poking a little fun at the Catholic Church, but they're all good natured, which of course that's all lies. They're a blasphemous satanic group. And so we have to expose. And sometimes this is kind of difficult because the stuff we're exposing is so evil that you almost don't want to. I mean, I saw some stuff on Twitter where people were sharing videos of stuff they do, and I did not share it. Maybe I should have, but it's really evil stuff. And so there is a line there where, do you always share satanic stuff? No, yes, maybe. The point is we at least have to say the truth about what these groups are like. We have to expose it. Here's another example. Here's something I did just this past weekend. I didn't expect it to go as viral as it did, but it did. I found there was an advertisement, I'll pull it up here, for a pride mass on the Feast of Corpus Christi in the Diocese of Pittsburgh. And it was a flyer that the deacon, one of the deacons who was participating in it, posted on Twitter. So I posted it up and I said that the Bishop of Pittsburgh needs to shut this down and he needs to discipline the clerics involved. Basically, the sign says, for those who can't see, who are listening, LGBTQ Catholics, families, allies, please join us for the Pride Mass, Feast of Corpus Christi, Body of Christ, God's gift to all. And it's got the rainbow colors and things like that. And it also, interesting, it has the presider, not the priest, the presider, is Father Doug Bowd, with deacons Herb Riley and Keith Condrich. It was Keith Condrich who shared this. But then also says scripture commentator, Vicki Sheridan, which is basically meaning a layperson, a woman giving a homily. Now, these people should be shamed, frankly. Father Doug Bowd should be shamed. He should be disciplined, potentially even forced out of the priesthood, practicing, you know, active ministry. Deacons Herb Riley and Keith Condrich should no longer be allowed to be deacons. But I shared this. So I shared this on social media on Saturday, this past Saturday. Since then, it's got over 100,000 views. And there's been a lot of people writing in to the Bishop of Pittsburgh and to say, you have to shut this down. Now, the deacon who shared this made his Twitter profile go private, which is a good thing. Go run away. You know, you should hide in shame. But more importantly, there is a lot of people, like I said, have been complaining about it. The word is that somebody said he thinks it's gotten canceled. I don't think that's the case, because I think they just weren't, they didn't mean to advertise it so publicly, because they never had on the website of the parish, that the St. Mary Magdalene Parish in Pittsburgh. But essentially what happened was, you know, like I said, they took it down publicly, but I do know there are going to be people who are going to go there to see if it's still happening. And potentially what I would argue is, people should, in Pittsburgh, Catholics in Pittsburgh should go and should, they should protest this. They should make it known publicly how awful this is, that we do not have masses in honor of sin. We have masses in honor of saints. Just like you wouldn't have a gluttony mass or a any other sin. Mass for liars. I mean, you don't do that. You do not have masses in honor of sin. And that's what they're doing here. And so exposing it is the first step. And that's what, fortunately, this is exposed to some. I would encourage people to, in Pittsburgh especially, to expose it, make sure people know about it, Catholics know about it, and protest it. But I think also that's, of course, just the first step. So first is expose what's going on. The second thing is, don't accept it in your life. Don't accept the Pride Month in your life. So if your company does honors the Pride Month, they do the rainbow flags, they do all that stuff, don't participate, first of all. Like if they have a meeting that you have to go to for it, just say, no, I'm not going to go to that. If they make you wear a rainbow lanyard, don't wear it. Tell HR, no, I'm not going to participate in that. Do everything you can to resist it and don't go along with it. Make it clear you don't go along with that. And I think that's difficult, because I know that means you could lose your job. I know people who, for example, stood up to the COVID regime and they lost their jobs. I know others who stood up to it and they were able to keep their jobs, and actually they gained a lot of respect from their coworkers. Because here's the thing. I would bet at a large corporation, some Fortune 500 company that does all the pride stuff, I would bet that the majority of the people, workers there, well, I think the majority probably don't care, but I think there's a large segment that don't like it, but they're just afraid to stand up. So you have to be the first one to do it. You have to stand up to it. And yes, it does mean potentially risking your livelihood, but it ultimately, how much can we go along with this? I'm not saying it's a sin to work at a company that does pride stuff. I'm not saying that, because there's a whole thing about material cooperation, stuff like that. But I am saying at some point we have to stand up to this and we have to fight against it. So don't accept it at work. Tell workers at stores. if some store has a bunch of rainbow flags up, tell them, why do you have the rainbow flag up? I don't agree with that. Do you really want my business here? As a Christian, I don't agree with that. I think you should take that down. Can I talk to your manager? Talk to the manager at a place like Target. Don't actually buy anything at Target, but go to a Target. Tell the manager, I don't agree with this. I want you to take all this stuff down. And it's not just Target, as we all know. It's all these companies. If you go into Starbucks and you see all the rainbow stuff, say, can I talk to your manager? Why do you have this rainbow flag up? Can you take it down? Why not? Well, I'm not going to do business here. We have to make people uncomfortable being situated with this. I realize that the worker at the Starbucks or McDonald's, the manager even, have nothing to do with this. They're told from on high. But there has to be pressure. Make it so they don't really want to work for a company like this that does stuff like that. So we have to do stuff like that. We have to do that. We have to do things of that nature. Okay. Also, I do think boycotting is important, that we should be doing boycotting. But I do think boycotting, okay, first of all, anybody who wants to boycott every company that does the rainbow stuff, that's fine with me. I just think as a group activity, we have to boycott selectively. What I mean by that is there's more power in numbers if we're more selective. If we just say boycott everything, most people are not going to follow that because it's just too much to do, too much to keep track of. That's why I think, for example, the target at Bud Light, Target at Target, Target Los Angeles Dodgers. I mean, Los Angeles Dodgers is kind of a tough one. I had a little article about this where most of their business is very regional. Like me living in Cincinnati, even though I'm a big baseball fan, I'm not doing anything to support the Dodgers anyway. But I think more importantly, something like a Target or Bud Light, it does send a message. If Walmart and Kohl's and these other places, which also endorse this stuff, if they see Target is doing bad business-wise, then I think that what we have to do is we have to put pressure on Target. Target does bad in business, and then the other companies see that, and they're less likely then to do these type of things. So I think that's the key, is selective boycotting, I think, is the way to go with this, not necessarily everything, every company. Obviously, like I said, if you feel convicted to try a boycott every company that has anything to do with the rainbow flag and the Alphabet Mafia, go ahead. God bless you. I just think for most people, it's very difficult to do. So let's pick our targets, Target being one of them, as well as Bud Light and the Dodgers. Okay, so another thing we have to do is I think we have to begin to consider protesting at these events. Like I already said, at that Pride Mass in Pittsburgh, if you hear there's a Pride Mass going on, go and protest it if they're not going to shut it down. But I think, you know, going and I saw on Twitter today, somebody suggesting go to all these pride marches and pray a rosary, stand on the corner, pray a rosary for their conversion. You know, obviously not in support of what they're doing, but against it, you can have a sign potentially if you feel bold enough. But I mean, one of the most famous images in the modern Catholic world, social media world, is from about 4 years ago. And I'll pull it up here. It's of the young Polish man. I think he was like 15 or something like that, holding up a cross with a rosary around it and standing in front of a gay pride march. And it's one of the most beautiful signs, images I've ever seen, because it's basically showing that it's showing one person what they can do, the impact they can have. And it's the power of the cross against these demonic forces. And yes, the pride forces are demonic forces. Obviously, pride is the greatest of sins. Obviously, the devil's behind it. And so potentially going to these pride marches and protesting it. Don't let them just speak out without knowing that what they're doing is wrong. I mean, maybe nobody's ever talked to them before. Maybe they don't even realize. Because what hopefully it would show is, like, I get the super activist types are just going to be upset and they don't care. But normally people sometimes go to these things. If they say, wait a second, you know, these Catholics, they're protesting against it. I'm Catholic. Why are they protesting against it? I think it can change some hearts. But most importantly, it just gives us a show that, no, they're not a monolith. The world is not just all behind pride. There are people who oppose it. Another thing we can do is, traditionally, June is the month of the Sacred Heart. So I think what we do is we plaster the Sacred Heart everywhere. We put up signs of the Sacred Heart on social media, at our houses, wherever we, in our yards, instead of the rainbow flag, we fly the flag of the Sacred Heart. There's a few different Sacred Heart flags out there. I think most of them are sold out right now. Maybe you'll have to buy it in July for next year. But fly a Sacred Heart flag. People will ask, what is that flag? Oh, it's a feast. It's for the Sacred Heart, and it represents, and it's the Sacred Hearts month is June. And say, I'm doing it in response to Pride Month because I don't believe in that. Let people know why you're doing it, especially if you're in a neighborhood where people can see, you know, you live in a suburb or a downtown neighborhood. Fly that flag of the Sacred Heart. Another thing, our friend Mike Church over at Crusade Channel, he created these signs, Celebrate Humility Month. It has a Sacred Heart with a family inside of it, a picture of a family inside of it. That's a great idea, too, because people will know exactly what you mean in that with that one. And I believe you have to go to the Crusade Channel. If you go to the Crusade Channel, I think they're selling these. Mike Church is the one who's doing this. Great idea, because people will know exactly what this means. Like Celebrate Humility Month, you put that up in June, everybody knows you're against Pride Month. So I think that's another thing we can do is really we put up signs, we let people know. We take up space, as Taylor Marshall says. We get out there and we let people know that we are against Pride Month. So I think the point of this is, these are some just some practical ideas. I think the point I'm trying to make here is we have to realize we're in a battle. This is not about understanding. This is not about, okay, we're just going to tolerate them. They tolerate us. If they just understand our position, everything will be fine. No. They have declared war on Catholicism, on Christianity in general. They have declared war on Catholicism. In a war, if you do not fight back, guess what will happen? You will lose. And that's exactly what's been happening to Catholics over the past 50 years, but particularly in the last decade. We're losing. When you have it to the point where a major corporation like the Los Angeles Dodgers can honor an explicitly anti-Catholic blasphemous group, you know we're losing. So we're losing right now. We've lost a lot of battles. So what we have to do is we have to first recognize we're in a war. We have to fight back. We can't just stand here quietly and say, well, you know, I'm just not going to say anything. No, we have to fight back. And so we can't accept the lies of the leftists, the Catholic leftists who say it's just about toleration, who try to act like the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence aren't that bad. We have to recognize somebody like a Father James Martin is a wolf in sheep's clothing, in shepherd's clothing, I guess, as a priest. He is a messenger of the devil. That's just what he is. Anybody who promotes pride, who promotes evil, is a messenger for the devil. And the top person in this country, Catholic-wise, is Father James Martin. And so we have to punch back, is what I'm saying. We have to punch back. And, you know, whatever people want to say, they're going to act like I said to punch Father James Martin or punch somebody. I'm not saying that. What I am saying, though, is metaphorically, we have to fight back. They've been punching us hard. We have to fight back. And so that's the attitude we need to have. However you fight back, fight back. Don't just let it happen, because that's what will happen. We'll lose is what will be the ultimate result if we do that. And we're losing, let's be honest. Now, the last thing I want to say is, and it's the most important, usually I say this one first, but I'll say it last. And that is, we must pray and fast. This is a spiritual battle. When I say we're fighting back, we're fighting back against demonic forces. And if you fight back under your own power against demonic forces, you will lose. You will get destroyed. That's why we have to fast and pray. Now, very nicely, we are currently in the octave of Pentecost in the old calendar, which means there's Ember Days this week. This Wednesday, May 31st, June 2nd, which is also a first Friday, and June 3rd, which is also a first Saturday, we have Ember Days, in which we're supposed to fast, abstain and fast. And so there are days of reparation. And so I would just encourage people, pray and fast, do acts of reparation for the blasphemies that will occur this month. And I do believe that is the most powerful thing we have. But more importantly, when we fight back, we're not going to get destroyed ourselves if we're praying and fasting. That will give us the courage to do what we need to do, but also the protection, the divine protection we need when we're engaged in this battle. So again, don't be bullied. Don't just stay quiet. Fight back. Resist Pride Month. Overcome Pride Month. It's the deadliest of sins. Having a month dedicated to it shows how bad we are. Engage in humility. But humility does not mean you just take everything and you don't stand up to it. No, it means you fight back as well. So humbly beg God for forgiveness for the blasphemies we're going to have this month, this coming month, and do everything you can to resist Pride Month. And that way we can overcome pride in our own lives, but also overcome the demonic forces of Pride Month. Okay, that's it for now. Until next time, everybody, God love you.